It was a raucous revolt by Democrats on the floor of the House of Representatives, a revolt that lasted for more than 24 hours. Democrats shouting down House Speaker Paul Ryan.
On House Joint Resolution 88, the clerk will report the title of the joint resolution.
Led by Congressman John Lewis, revered for his role in the civil rights movement, Democrats held an old-style raucous sit-in on the floor of the House chamber. They demanded votes on gun control issues such as universal background checks and blocking gun sales to anyone on a no-fly list. Since House cameras and microphones were turned off by Republican leaders, Democrats took to social media, live streaming on Periscope in defiance of House rules. And with a nod to the civil rights era, they sang through the wee hours of the morning. You heard part of Michigan Representative Debbie Dingell's impassioned speech a few minutes ago. Another member of Michigan's Democratic House delegation was one of the first to join Congressman John Lewis in the sit-in, Flint Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee, who is with us now. Welcome, Congressman.
Thank you.
How would you describe those more than 24 hours on the House floor?
Well, there was a lot of energy on the floor, and I think it was sort of born out of months and years of frustration. But in some ways, for us, it was a chance to actually stand up and do something and say to the country that we think we need to change our approach to these issues of violence with guns, and we're going to use every tool we can. So being led by John Lewis, you know, an icon of the civil rights movement, a man who knows as much about nonviolent protest as anybody living on the planet, was an inspiration for many of us. And for me, it's something that I'll carry with me for as long as I live.
How do you answer those who ask why such unprecedented measures, or as we heard from House Speaker Ryan, a publicity stunt?
Well, first of all, for him to call it a publicity stunt, obviously he has to spin it somehow. John Lewis doesn't do publicity stunts. This was very much in keeping with his method of social change that he's clung to for 50 years, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. It was an action that we felt we had to take, an unprecedented action, because of the unprecedented silence from the Republicans in Congress after 49 people were gunned down in Florida. Another moment of silence on the floor of the House, followed by hours, days, weeks, months of silence on the issue that we need to take up to prevent this from happening again. It was just too much for us to take.
I want to talk about the terror watch list, which has been a big part of this and criticized by folks on both sides of the aisle as being biased and arbitrary and lacking due process. Why hitch your wagon on the gun debate to this watch list?
Well, it's one of the issues. And in the case of the terror watch list, I share the concern about due process. And that's why we want to pass legislation that determines how this terror watch list would work. I mean, so we're not just interested in making sure that if somebody can't fly on an airplane, they shouldn't be able to purchase a gun, but also making the kind of improvements to the development of a list, how a person can get off the list. Those are things that are critical, and they're done through the legislative process. What's a little bit disingenuous on the part of the Republicans is that they say there are these questions, but fail to submit these questions to the legislative process. They fail to offer their own ideas as to how to improve that. I get it. I think they're right. But that doesn't mean we don't keep an eye on people who have sworn to harm the United States. We wouldn't want to tell the FBI that you shouldn't watch these folks. And so if we're watching them and we know this, we don't let them fly in an airplane. For God's sake, why would we let them walk into any gun store at any time and purchase any weapon for any purpose they choose? That's just not smart. And so we got to get it right. The other issue, of course, is simply making background checks universal. These are issues that like 80 to 90% of Americans support. And I know people, they will resist this. But the truth of the matter is, and Republican members have shared this privately for years, they can't touch the gun issue, even when they know it's right, because they're petrified of the National Rifle Association. That if they do anything that even remotely looks like any kind of reasonable restriction on gun ownership for people who are dangerous, that they are going to be attacked by the NRA and they just won't do it. We can't let that continue.
What do you think the mood will be when you all reconvene July 5th?
Well, we'll see. I mean, obviously between now and then is the most important time. Because as 188 members of the House of Representatives, we don't have the authority to put a bill on the floor. The American people do, however. And so our effort, while it was obviously focused on action on the floor of the House of Representatives, our effort will succeed only if the American people understand the question, and this will help them understand it, and then speak up to their members of Congress, not just to us, but to those reasonable Republicans who know we have to do something, and to tell them that simply hiding behind procedure or hiding behind the Speaker's lack of willingness to put a bill on the floor is not going to be sufficient.
Democratic Congressman Dan Kildee represents Michigan's 5th District. Thanks for being with us, Congressman.
Thank you.
GOP Representative Bill Huizinga of Michigan's 2nd Congressional District is here with us now. Congressman, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Cynthia.
How would you describe the scene yesterday and last night and early this morning on the House floor?
Well, I think it's an unfortunate political ploy by the Democrats on the floor, and frankly, it blocked some real needed progress that that had to happen on our appropriations bills. And I'm afraid ultimately this has continued to poison the well for us to be able to get any work done, including on this issue that they're concerned about.
Well, I've got to wonder, the two measures that the House Dems were calling for already failed in the Senate. And with a Republican majority in the House, it's a pretty sure bet they would not pass. So why not just hold the vote?
Then so let's reverse that. Why would we hold a vote when it has already can't even pass the Senate? And we know that it's not going to pass the House either. So this is the same group that derided any and all votes that we had taken about Obamacare and whether we were going to repeal part of it or all of it. At the end of the day, something actually finally got to the president's desk through reconciliation. And this issue didn't even have that ability to get that far because it couldn't. There was no agreement even in the Senate.
What have you heard from your constituents over these past hours?
Mixed. You know, obviously, we've got a lot of people calling in and emailing in and those kinds of things. The majority of them have said, hey, we'd like to have some reasonable progress on this discussion and have a reasonable conversation about this. And most of them, frankly, don't view what happened yesterday as, you know, these political games as being ultimately helpful to get after issues that we need to have a full vetting over.
In fact, speaking of public feelings, there was a new CNN poll that just came out a few days ago showing 92% of Americans want expanded background checks. 85% of Democrats and 90% of Republicans polled said they would ban people on federal watch lists from buying guns. It's a pretty strong majority on both sides looking for some action. Congressman, do you think that Congress has done enough when it comes to addressing and responding to all of these mass shootings in our country?
Well, I think those are two different things that we're discussing, and it's tough to not get passionately wrapped up into both of those things. You know, one, you know, we're, in fact, unfortunately, we're seeing this situation in Germany right now. It doesn't always matter how strict those gun laws are, because even Germany's gun laws are far stricter than what ours are. There's going to be horrible, evil situations that are going to occur. The issue that is tough to be dispassionate about, but something that we have to look at, is what is the constitutional standing and what is the due process situation that we have to go through with our citizens? And frankly, on occasion, and only on occasion, do I agree with the ACLU, but on this one, I actually do agree with them as we are making sure that as we are going through this process, there is a way for people to find an off-ramp off of some of these lists. And after they've proven that they shouldn't be on those lists, it's very difficult to do that. And there's an assumption of guilt versus an assumption of innocence. And I think that's where the ACLU is having a problem.
As I was watching all of this unfold and I watched Speaker Ryan talking about the issue of terrorism and addressing that, still had to wonder in my mind, how does doing that address the homegrown mass shooters, the ones that have no connections to terrorist organizations, people like James Holmes in that theater at Aurora and Adam Lanza at Sandy Hook and Christopher Harper Mercer at Umpqua Community College? What plans would Republicans have to address them?
Well, and I guess that goes back to the question of ultimately what can we do to address some of those homegrown situations. For some, they would like to see an outright ban on all of those types of weapons that would be available. that including handguns. I'm certainly not there, and I think the vast majority of the American people are not there. How do you stop evil and mental illness? That is very, very difficult and nearly impossible to ultimately achieve. We do have something, a Representative Tim Murphy from Pennsylvania, I'm a co-sponsor of a bill on his, to revamp our mental health system. It just passed through Fred Upton's Energy and Commerce Committee this past week. And those are the types of things we need to look at as well, is how do we reform our mental health system to make sure that we're treating those with mental illness and their families are having to be empowered as well to address some of these issues. So that's got to be a part of our conversation.
Congressman, you use the term poison the well in referring to really what's happened with this sit-in. What do you think things will be like in that chamber when you all reconvene July 5th?
That's a good question. I will tell you this. There was a lot of informal conversations happening. I mean, we're colleagues. We talk all the time across the aisle. I think that there was some real progress and real true debate and discussion among members that was happening. And when they decided to play political games like this, it just breaks down any of the trust. It breaks down any of the ability to say, okay, are you doing this for the cameras, or is this really about solving an issue and a problem? And that's where, especially in a campaign year, that's why I think that well has been poisoned in a way that may not be repairable before we reset at the beginning of January next year with a new president even.
Michigan Republican Congressman Bill Heisinger. Thank you so much, Congressman, for speaking with us on Stateside.
Hey, thanks for having me, Cynthia. I appreciate it.
This is Stateside from Michigan Radio.